Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
This morning, we're going to have a bit of a Bible study. Is that right? Has everybody got a Bible? Yeah. If you haven't got one, we're going to put some of the scriptures up on the screens. And there's kind of two parts to this message. One is a theological part. The other one is my part. All right, so the theological title is, really from last week, it was Living in Agreement with God. Is that right? Pastor Colin brought a great message. Yeah. Well, this week it's just called Being with Jesus, or it's not what you've got in your pocket or not, it's the rocker that lives inside you. Yeah. Guess, okay, so the second one's mine. The first one is being with Jesus. It says in the book of Acts, in chapter 4, somewhere down there, that they saw that these guys, these individuals, had been with Jesus. But I've kind of paraphrased that, and I've put it into the JD version, and I've called this, it's not what you've got in your pocket or not, but the rocker that lives inside you. Is that okay? Because I don't know what you've got in your pocket. Front pocket, back pocket, inside pocket, best suit pocket, no suit pocket. I don't know what you've got in your pocket. But I'm trusting that by the great grace of God, we'll all realise that it's not what you've got in your pocket or not. But it's the rocker. And I use the word rocker in a deliberate way. Some of you might think, oh, who's he talking about? I'm talking about God as the rocker. But I want to just communicate what I mean by that. The Bible speaks about the quarry of life, the part of life that we're all come from. The quarry in the Bible very often represents God himself, God the Father, the big part, the big person of God, okay, God. But then we find out that Jesus appeared as the rock of our salvation. So out of the quarry, there was the rock, who is the same as the quarry, is no different, but is an expression of the quarry, but in a touchable size. Jesus says, I have come, and if you see me, you see the one that sent me. So we can see the whole quarry in the life of the rock, who was Jesus. Jesus was talked about in the Old Testament as well as in the New. He spoke about himself. I am the rock. Build your life on me and it'll all be okay. For those of you that were around at our Easter celebration, were you involved with this? The sand and the rock thing behind the screen. Yeah, we saw a great picture, a great reminder of what can happen when we build our own lives on the sand of things in life, and then how we build them upon the rock, who is Jesus. But then I'm caught the Holy Spirit, and the Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit as being the same as God. He is God, but he is the power, he is the intimacy, he is the personage of Jesus, if you like, that comes to live on the inside. In fact, Jesus came and he lived with the influence of the Holy Spirit within his own life, but he died and he went to be with God the Father so that he could send back the Holy Spirit so that we could receive the Holy Spirit. So the quarry, the rock, in its biggest sense, sent himself in the form of the rock of salvation, the rock of life, Jesus, who then went back up to the quarry and sent the rocker. I love it that Caroline is here because she encourages me. So we have now the rocker. Woo! So it's not about what you've got in your pocket or not, but the rocker who lives inside of you. Now, it may be that in the next 25, 30 minutes, you're sitting there and you are even more confused then than you are now. But it might only be because you don't know who I'm talking about. You just know what I'm talking about. All right, so I could talk to you about my month in Australia and I could tell you all about it, but I could tell you because I've been there and I've experienced and I know what it's like. So my prayer is that not only will you get fed because the Bible feeds us, but also you will get challenged, actually, do I have the rocker inside of me? Because the Holy Spirit wants to come and rock our world. He wants to come and shake it up a little bit. He wants to come and change it a little bit. Is that right? Excellent. So I've got the amplified version here a little bit. Is that okay? Anybody got any amplified? When I do some sessions in the Bible school, when I was at Faith Camp, I go through different translations of the Bible to use. And I normally start with the NIV. The NIV is good. I use that quite a lot. The Truth is brilliant. Okay. But then I tail off a little bit and read a bit of scripture in the NIV. And then I say, right, now this is the Amplified. So you ready for the Amplified? Yeah. Let it be. Okay, that's my Amplified. So it's downhill now. In the Amplified, I'm just going to read this. This is from Acts chapter 4, verse 10 to 14. Let it be known and understood by all of you and by the whole house of Israel that in the name and through the power and authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, in him and by means of him, this man is standing before you well and sound in body. Now, this is a story where the two guys were going to church. They're just doing what they normally do. And this guy that had been carried backwards and forwards for at least 30 years, and I multiplied that out and that's 10,000 journeys. On his little cradle here because he couldn't walk. He looked at them with an expectation, you look as if you've got something I need. What he thought was money or an offering, something to help him sustain his life for his journey back home. So that the next day he could come 10,001 times. So this guy looked at them with a kind of an expectation of finances. Maybe they were going to church. Maybe they were good Christian people. Maybe they would feel sorry for him. Maybe. But then these two guys looked at him and said, wait a minute. Check my pockets. We don't have anything that you want, but I have got something that you need. I don't have anything that you want, but I have got something that you need. What you need is not something just to get you through the day, but you need something that's going to change your days. You don't need something that's just going to get you home. You need something that's going to put you on a journey towards a new home. So these guys says, actually, gold and silver, I don't have. My pockets are empty. I have no visa, access, PIN card. But what I do have, you can have. And they said in just a simple statement, in the name of Jesus, walk. It says that power came into his ankles and he sprung up. But he didn't just spring up with a man who had better ankles. He sprung up as a different man. His whole countenance changed. He was singing. He was happy. He was jolly. He was freaked out. He'd been rocked on the inside. His 10,000th and first journey was going to be his last journey like that. This is this story that the Amplified is talking about here. The guys that saw this miracle happen through their lives got arrested. They got into trouble. And people began to say, wait a minute. And this is this bit that we're reading in the Bible. This Jesus is the stone who was despised and rejected by you, the builders with which has now become the heads of the corner, the cornerstone. And there is salvation in and through no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by and in which we must be saved. That was their message. All right? But how they ended up in their situation is because the Holy Spirit had rocked not just the beggar's world, but their world. They were going to church. Going past a gate which actually was called Beautiful and had been for years, but underneath it was a situation which was not beautiful. What they saw did not enforce what they were looking for. This is a great thing about Jesus. Our life, we might think we need to live up there, but we're living down here. It's only Jesus that can make us live the life that we need to live. Because every time Jesus walks into my life, he's looking for beautiful, and sometimes he doesn't find it. So the Holy Spirit begins to say, okay, sort it, get it sorted. Do you understand that? So this great opportunity which these two guys had still happens today. There might be some of us here that maybe our walk has been a bit of a limp. Maybe we just got by. Maybe we just count the days. Maybe we can only think about today. Maybe we don't have any expectation that the days get any better. But with the Holy Spirit, it's always going to get better. So the response from Peter and John was this. It says about them that when they saw the boldness and unfettered eloquence, I like that word, of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and untrained in the schools, in brackets, common men with no educational advantages, they marveled and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And since they saw the man who had been cured standing there beside them, they could not contradict the fact or say anything in opposition. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life, he wants to rock it, shake it up, change it. But he wants the world to see through our lives that Jesus is real and he's alive. Because the Holy Spirit will not do anything that will contradict Jesus. He will not, he cannot, he does not. But I just thought it might be interesting. Are you still interested? Just keep focused. Think of something. All right, don't let your head go blankety blank. There's no checkbook and pen. All right, keep your head focused a little bit. This is partly why we put up the words on the screen, to keep you involved, because otherwise I'm doing everything this morning. Is that right? So Ian is going to be doing this for the very first time ever. Praise the Lord. So this, anything could happen now. You can end up with the weather forecast. I really don't know. Today it's going to be hot. So let's have this first couple of slates up, Ian, if you wouldn't mind. Now you can kind of read those to yourself. I'll read them while you're reading them. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already. What does that mean? It means Paul's recognizing, I don't live for me, I live for somebody else now. And it means I've received something which is really important, and I want to tell you what it is. Let's have the next slate. In reading this, so reading the Bible, the bit of the Bible that Paul wrote, there's something going to happen when we read the Bible. Now, the Holy Spirit helps us to read the Bible and make sense out of it. All right? Which we're going to look at in a moment. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. What does that mean? It means that there's some things in the Bible, there's some words that have been written for generations that the Holy Spirit wants to rock us into. The Holy Spirit wants to work for us so that when we read these few scriptures here and others in the Bible, we become, yeah, that's right. I understand that. How do you know that wisdom is great when you have it? Anybody not go, huh, because you need it if you didn't do that. Anybody know that wisdom is great when you have it, all right? You know what the right thing to do is. And the Holy Spirit comes to rock us because, like in this story of Peter and John, they weren't educated people, but they knew what to do. They hadn't got massive, massive qualifications, but they did know what to do. Is that right? So we're going to look at a few scriptures. We'll try and get through them all. I'm trying to aim to finish at 12 o'clock. Now, I am known for my timekeeping. I thank you. So let's have the first one up here about what the Holy Spirit does. It should be slate 3 in. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He'll not speak on his own. He'll only speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. What does that mean? What that means is when you have the rocker on the inside, you understand that the Bible is alive and it's true and it's real. It's not a history book or a handbook, it's a life book. Amen. That the Bible is not about the history of God, it's about the history of men. So the rocker wants to come and use our lives to express the truth of the Bible in a new way and in a clear way so that others will hear it. Right now, you probably would have guessed it, I'm really, really trusting for the Holy Spirit to speak through me because I haven't heard this before. All I've done was write a load of scriptures down. laughing. You should be up here, mate. But so I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit right now is guiding me, guiding us, speaking through me, speaking to us. Is that okay? Right, let's have the next slate up then. So he will glorify me because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And something that when Jesus came on earth, there was something which we couldn't really get to know. While he was walking around as man, he was still fully God, fully man, but there was a part of Jesus which we just had to guess at, which is, how did he do that? How did he say those things? How did he know where to go? Jesus said, I don't go anywhere unless God tells me to go there. I don't say anything unless he gives me the words. I don't do anything unless he enables me or shows me what to do. And Jesus, in that statement, was giving us a bit of an insight on how Jesus had the rocker inside of him. Do you understand that? Is that Jesus moved and lived and had his being on earth in the same way that we can with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because everything that Jesus did, he said time and time and time again, don't start making me your hero. The one that sent me is your hero. Don't worship me. I'm not going to be your king in the sense that you mean, but worship the one who sent me. So the Holy Spirit helps us to get hungry for the word, but also helps us to serve God better. Let's have the next slate, please. This is a long one. We are not like Moses. Thank God for that. First few months floating about in a Nile in a basket. I mean, he's a basket case. You know that, don't you, Moses? Okay, never mind. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing that the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It's not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Next one. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone, just say anyone, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What does that mean? It means that we can go to church stuff, we can be around Christians' lives, we can have Christian-sounding conversations, we can kind of pray, and we can do all kinds of things. But without the Holy Spirit living inside of us, it's like doing it through a blanket. We can listen to, you know, the Queen's great New Year's message and then the great Jubilee message about the power of the gospel and, you know, God's kingdom is a sent. But if we just hear it without the Holy Spirit, it's just dull. It might be that you've just here this morning and you think this is really dull. Okay, don't put your hands up for that one. I don't want to know. But can I just suggest that part of the reason why it's pretty dull is because the rocker isn't inside of you. Or maybe he's just not rocking you. Because I think there is a beat, there is a rhythm of music within the spirit of every Christian that's alive, and it is not foxtrot. It's more like mosh pitting stuff. It's more like pumping. Anyway, that's okay. But the last couple of lines on here is really key. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. He's the Lord. He's in charge. And where? So there's a geographical reference here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Okay, so there's a bit of a condition that goes on, but then there is a statement of fact. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit is here this morning? Okay, so therefore there is freedom. So in other words, God wants to do something in our lives this morning. Thank you, Chris. Get in. You are not. If you want anybody to pray for you, go and stand next to Chris. He'll either pray for you or drum for you, one or the other. But the guy's on it this morning. But even to this day, even to today, whatever it is, August the 26th, we can be sitting here and it's like, oh, this is dull, this is dull, this is dull. We need the rocker to keep our eyes open, to keep our mind awake, to keep our spirit alive. Do you understand that? Excellent. Next one, please. Ian, you're doing a great job. Now, it's God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. This is a good one. It's not whether we prayed enough or read the Bible enough or been to enough church meetings. Interestingly enough, Jesus did not say, I have come that you might have meetings and meetings in abundance. What he did say is, I've come that you might have life and life in abundance. And this is God who sent Jesus and sends the Holy Spirit so that we can stand firm. Now, that doesn't mean we stand still. It means that there's an inner confidence. There is a perseverance of spirit which we don't have without the rocker inside of us. It's that spirit of we're not giving up. It's that spirit of we're not letting go. It's that spirit of we might be small, but we'll have you. Which I have. And so do many people here. But he set his seal of ownership on us. The rocker comes into our life to say, you're mine. You belong to me now. But as you live and walk with me, there is more to come. You know that paying a deposit is not the same as the full price, right? So when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, we might see God do some interesting things. We might even be able to talk in a different kind of language and all that kind of stuff. But it's all just a deposit. But it guarantees what's coming. Do you understand that? I love that. That we only need to experience in our day-to-day just a small part of the rocker to know that there is more that we can have. Do you understand that? This is the great, one of the great abilities, I was going to say, but it sounds a bit demeaning. This is one of the great attributes that the Holy Spirit brings, is he's just a deposit. Every day he wants to do more, say more, be more. Oh, amen. Let's have another slate up, Ian. You're doing great. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. How many got weaknesses in the room? Every hand should be up unless it's too weak. Okay, put your leg up. Do something. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes. That's a kind of interesting word. That word intercedes can mean stand in the gap. But I like to use this picture, which hopefully you'll understand, is when Jesus said, watch and pray, and he said that in the Gospels, just as he was in the garden and he was praying through some stuff. What it means is, as a Christian, the Holy Spirit will help you watch what Jesus is praying. See it, hear it, and then agree with it. Because the Holy Spirit is always in agreement with God the Father. He's always in agreement with Jesus. So all I have to do is let the Holy Spirit show me what Jesus is praying, and then he will pray through me, and immediately there's an agreement. So sitting in your chair right now, if you're a Christian, if you've received Jesus as the rock, and if you've received the rocker, the Holy Spirit, then already there's three people sitting in your chair. And it's not because you're a schizomate, it's not because you're funny. It's because it's the person of God. One God in three parts. Do you understand that? This is great. So he searches our hearts. He knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for people in accordance with the will of God. Wouldn't it be great if all of us, all of the time, wouldn't have to keep saying, if it's your will, O God? Wouldn't it be great if we just knew what it was? Maybe that's just me. Well, the Holy Spirit, the rocker, wants to tell you what the will of God is all the time. So there's no if. There's no doubt. The Holy Spirit helps us believe. You understand that? Let's go on to the next one. It's 11:43. We're doing well. Are you okay with this? Excellent. As for you, say you. Just find your finger. Is it in your hand? Just point it at somebody. As for you. Come and say, as for you. Oh, you'll look really rude now, but that's all right. Just as for you. Put a bit of passion behind it. As for you. Now, this side are really good at it. This other side, you're not happy. Find your finger and point to someone. Say, as for you. That's much better. The anointing you receive from him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. It's an interesting verse. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and that the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. What does that mean? It means the Holy Spirit, every single day, every single night, wants to teach us more about who Jesus is and how to live like Jesus lived. The Holy Spirit wants to teach us your way, O Lord. There's a song about 200 years ago. written by somebody. Teach me your way, O Lord, I will follow you, right? Well, that's actually out of a scripture. It's actually from something that Moses said, this guy in the Old Testament, said, teach me your way, O Lord, that I'll know you. Quite a few of us, we want to teach me your way, O Lord, that I can do what you're doing. But Jesus actually says, no, just follow me. If you follow me, what I'm doing will follow you. So the rocker helps us to follow. There's a song out of Sister Act, isn't there? Sister Act 1, who's going to sing it? No, nobody, well, I'm still breathing. I will follow you. That one. That. We won't get you to sing it. But the Holy Spirit helps us to follow. It teaches us on the journey. As a Christian, I've realised that the more and more and more I've known God, the less I know about him. But also, the more there is I want to know about him. Next one, please, Ian. Ian, you're doing great. We're on the home stretch. For though we live in the world, you know that, right? Your world might be called Crawley or Horsham or Haywards Heath. Got some people from Haywards Heath today. Woohoo! It might be Southwater, might be Croydon, might be Worthing, might be East Preston, West Durrington, might be wherever you live, but that's your world, right? We all live in the world. Unless some of you are from Venus. And the rest are from Mars. Which isn't true. We're all from here, right? We just have to get on with each other. Praise the Lord. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Next one. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I haven't got to unpack all that as a load there. But there is an enemy that wants to make you sit in your chair and make you believe that you're hopeless, worthless. There's an enemy that wants you to be convinced that God can do everything for everybody apart from you. There is an enemy that wants to sneak in, whisper, sit on the shoulder of our life, whisper into the world that we're living in, saying this is all it is. This is as good as it gets. Save up for a rainy day. One day your prince will come. The prince has come. His name is Jesus and he's already arrived. So there's an argument. There's an whole opposition that is nag, nag, nag. Oh, well, you know, this is all right for everybody else, but you know, you can live without it. You can't live without him. We can live, but we can't live without him. We exist, but we don't live. And what the Holy Spirit helps you and me to do is he helps to form a right argument. He'll help you think a good argument about what thinks you should be a loser. Because out in the world that maybe we live in, if we don't know Jesus, we already worship a God. It's called me, myself, and I. One God in three persons. I'll just please what? I'll just please myself. And I just do what I want. Okay, it's a God, right? We all worship a God. We all serve a God. Even if we don't believe there is a God, we still serve one because it's sometimes us. But the Holy Spirit comes in to help us win the argument. How many of you want to be winners? Right. God wants you to be a winner. He died that you would be a winner. We sang earlier about being victorious. He wants you and I to live in winning. But sometimes we've got to win the argument. The things that try to overcome, try to shut us down, try to make us smaller than God says we can be. And the Holy Spirit rocks up to help us do that. Do you understand that? We could go into a whole Bible study about it, but that's not the point of this morning. Next slate, please, Ian. You are doing really, really well. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. What does that mean? It means unlike any other religion in the whole of humanity, where you have to try and change the outside, God changes the inside out. Man, I've studied some stuff and I've chatted with people and they try to do all kinds of stuff from the outside in. Habits, patterns, disciplines, lardy-lardy-lardy. But Jesus is the only God who's alive. And the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and in me to change us from the inside out. First he gives us a new heart, then he gives us a new spirit, then he works day by day by day by day. That word sanctify means to be made more like him. Only the Holy Spirit can make us more like Jesus.
I love it.
May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this last verse. The one who calls you is faithful. Now that's true for everybody under the sound of my voice, whether you know Jesus or not. Somewhere in the eternity of time, Jesus says, I'm going to have you, I'm going to save you, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to come and live with you forever. It's gone out over our lives already. You're going to belong to me one day. You're going to follow me one day. You're going to have a relationship with me one day, and I'm going to be living in you and through you one day. That's the call, like that. And then suddenly one day we heard it and responded to it. It's good, isn't it? Everybody in humanity is called. I was having a chat with some of the guys earlier, talking about Neil Armstrong, 82-year-old, first man to walk on the moon. But I know the person that made it. Now, I'm not having a go at Neil Armstrong. Very, very brave man. Very here up. There's more computer power in this than there was in the thing that sent him up there. I'll tell you what, that's a hero. But I would still prefer to remember that the God who made the moon is walking on the earth. Not just a man is walking on the moon. Do you understand that? The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Today, he will do it. Why? Because he's faithful. He wants the Holy Spirit to teach us more, stretch us more, show us more, make us more holy, make us more acceptable, if you like, to God. Next one, please. Ian, we're almost there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, tolerance. Actually, forbearance, same thing. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, normally when I'm doing this one, I'll do something really simple, like put your hand on the chair in front of you. You can just humour me. And then just rub it sideways for a little bit. Put a bit of pressure on it. If you haven't got a chair, put it on your head or something. A virtual chair. No, a virtual chair won't work. Is it getting a bit warm yet? Okay. Find your Bible or a book or your wallet or something. Just hold it in front of you and then just let it go. It's called gravity, right? Okay. There are various laws that are in operation right now. Friction, gravity. Without the law of lift, Neil Armstrong would have been in Houston. So he would be the first person to have a £20 billion rocket go off and not go anywhere, okay? So there are various laws. Charles, keep with it, mate. Hold it together. There are various laws which exist in our world. Friction, gravity. Without friction, we would be in New Zealand right now. Without gravity, we would be in Saturn right now, okay? There are laws about life, death, sickness. All those kinds of laws exist. What this is saying is the Holy Spirit takes us above those laws and lives within the law of the Spirit, the Bible says. In other words, I'll just make it really easy. When the Holy Spirit comes and rocks us with the Spirit of love, we have no reason at all to feel unloved again. When the Spirit of joy comes into our life, you've got to think of a really, 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 really good reason to be miserable. And then get rid of it. When the Spirit of peace comes into our life, man, you can be in the midst of the storm of your life. Your whole world might be going upside down, but inside of you, the Spirit of peace is still in charge. Because the law of the world cannot affect the law of the Spirit. Is this okay? Right, next one, because we've only got 7 minutes left. Oh, heck, here's a long one. Who wrote this? Thank you. Actually, it was God. There are different kinds. But thanks, Rachel, for pointing out. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them and in everyone, it is the same God. Okay, bit of a Bible study, three different things, working, service, and gifting. One's about the Father, one's about the Son, one's about the Holy Spirit. We haven't got time for that. Come back. Come to the Bible school. We'll tell you all about it. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge. In other words, the Holy Spirit wants to speak through you. He wants to live through you. He wants to do stuff through us, which we can't do without him. The Holy Spirit wants to be everything that we could never be and do everything that we could never do. The only difference is Jesus said, just before he had the elevator up, is he said, if you believe in me, not only will you do what I've been doing, and I think that's the first step, is you'll do even more than I've been doing. Which is why Peter and John did even more than he'd done. Because Jesus would have gone past that man himself. But at that moment, the Holy Spirit said, it's his time now. He's ready now. Give him me. And they operated with a lot of these. Faith. It says in Corinthians, it's that same spirit of faith that we also believe and therefore speak. The Holy Spirit, the rocker, wants you and me to believe what without him we can't believe. We just can't. So the Holy Spirit believes for us. It's good, isn't it? Next bit of slate, please, Ian. To another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, etc., etc., etc. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, I personally believe that we've all got all of those. As Christians, we have the full measure of the Holy Spirit. We have all the gifting. We also have all the seed to produce all of the fruit. But I do believe the two work together. Yeah, I haven't got time to go into it as a study. But the rocker wants you to be much more kind, patient, gentle than naturally you would ever be. Hallelujah. The person sat next to you is thinking, come on. But the Holy Spirit also wants to express himself through you in a way that you couldn't do. What's prophecy? It's you tell other people what God is telling you. You don't have to walk around with dodgy kit, live in a big tower and eat locusts, unless you really want to, in which case you're just weird. But he wants you to speak what's on the heart of God in the workplace, in your schools, in your universities, in your home. And the Holy Spirit will rock up to help you do that. Next one, please, Ian. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. I'm trusting and hoping that's what's happening right now. Three of you, it is. Excellent. The rest of you, it's glad that you could make it. It really wouldn't have been the same without you here. But I'm hoping right now that this isn't me. This is not my thoughts and my ideas. But actually, they're somebody else's ideas. Excellent. Next slate, please. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by Spirit. Next bit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What does this mean? It means only you know what you're thinking right now. You think. Problem with that is God knows every thought. Okay, we all know that, okay? Maybe we don't understand that, maybe we don't receive that and accept that, but that's the reality. God knows every thought right now, sparking off in the little chemical sparkings that's going off around here. But what this is saying is we can know what God's thinking. Now, as a Christian, I happen to believe that God's thoughts are up there, mine are down here, pretty much all the time. I've never had a great idea. The difference between a good idea and a God idea is oh. But what I do... Okay, keep up. But what I do know is, because I've got the rocker living inside of me, he can tell me what God is thinking sometimes. So it's not my thought, it's his thought. Changes everything, right? Let's go on to the next one. We must be nearly the end now. Oh, hello, only at Revelation. This is really good. This is brilliant. What does this mean? It means the Holy Spirit will show you the next step. Holy Spirit comes to lift us. On to the next slate. Oh, there's two bits here. And we've received, it's not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit was from God. Now understand what God has freely given us. Hopefully that's what's happening now, as we're beginning to understand afresh by the Holy Spirit, not just me speaking, but the Spirit speaking to you of what God has freely given us. On to the next bit of the slate, please, Ian. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. This is what we were looking at earlier, was without the rocker, without the Holy Spirit, we can be sitting here listening. It's all just a muddle. It's just words. It's just, oh, what was all that about? Well, let me just reinforce that the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself, doesn't want anybody to leave without knowing he's for you. He's for you. You might not even be for you sometimes. I'm not even for me sometimes. But I know by the Holy Spirit reminding me, he's always for me. But I also know that if he's for me, who can stand against me? So the Holy Spirit teaches, shows me stuff which I can't understand. And sometimes the Holy Spirit tells us stuff which, with our natural thinking, is just foolish. Why build a boat in the middle of a desert? Not so that Noah could be the first sound engineer in the Bible. One, two. One, two. Where's Tim Hartnell? This is for you. One, two. Oh, come on. Okay, next one, because they're just not getting these jokes. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject. What does this mean? It means the Holy Spirit wants us to understand what's going on, but without being critical of it. Holy Spirit wants you and me to understand what's going on. Next one, please. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from dead is living in you, if he who raised Christ from dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. I personally believe what this means is when the Holy Spirit comes inside our life of a Christian, you start getting younger from that day. It's true. That's actually one of the words that you can translate life to your mortal bodies as reviving life. Which means from the day I got saved in 1986, April the 17th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, since that day I've been getting younger. Get in. You laugh at that. Is she your friend? Okay. So the Holy Spirit wants to renew our youth. It doesn't just mean the age of the outside. Sorry, it's 1 minute past 12. Shoot me later. But he actually wants to renew our attitude. Some people have got a young body but an old attitude. The Holy Spirit wants us to be a joyful, youthful attitude. Just two more to go. Are you okay? Yes. Excellent. Next one, please. I always thank God for you because of his grace given for you in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Next part, please. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with... What does that mean? It means God set in motion what... As somebody worked for the Ministry of Defence, I always wanted to find out what was perpetual motion. Do you know what perpetual motion is? You flick something, it begins to rotate, and within its own rotational energy, there's enough energy to keep it rotating forever. Understand that? So it's like if you flicked a snooker ball, there's enough energy in the centrifugal force of the snooker ball to keep it running forever. Okay, it's only ever been done in a vacuum. The problem is making a vacuum, you need some other energy to make the vacuum so it doesn't happen. Are you with me now? Yeah. Okay. The Holy Spirit... Sorry, science lesson, I can't help it, it's just the way my brain works. But salvation, Jesus coming to the earth, is perpetual motion. Because Jesus has enough energy on his own, he doesn't need any more. The Holy Spirit is the energy of God, he doesn't need any more. And when the rocker, the Holy Spirit, comes to live in you, you don't need any more. You have all the power you need for everything you need for life and godliness. You don't need more and more and more and more and more. You have the power of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay. I think this is the last one, the next one. Ta-da! Give yourselves a clap for coming to the last one. For the Spirit of God gave us does not, say does not. Okay, there's a does not. When we receive the rocker, he does not make us timid. He does not. He does not make us weak and stupid things. He does not make us angry. He does not make us lack patience. He does not do certain things. What he does do is he gives us power, love, and self-discipline or a sound mind. There's another quadrazillion scriptures that we could look at, but I thought these would just keep us going. Remember, it's a Bible study, right? So let's just sum up this message. Remember what this message was called? It's not what you've got in your pocket or not, but the rocker that lives inside of you. So the Holy Spirit deepens our hunger, understands the word. It's the anointing. It proves our prayer life. It teaches us stuff. It renews our mind. It makes us holy from the inside out. Makes us more intelligent. Amen. Increases our energy levels and physical strength. It keeps us. The Holy Spirit, we become more compassionate. We communicate. We see things differently. So to sum up, God's the quarry. Jesus is the rock. Holy Spirit is the rocker of the world. Isaiah 41 verse 10 in the New Living says, don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. That's all the working of God, the quarry, Jesus, the rock, and the Holy Spirit, the rocker. What am I saying this morning? We can kind of live a half life as Christians. We can know the rock. I know I'm saved, I've got a relationship with the Holy Spirit, but somehow it just all seems dull and boring. Well, then we need our world rocking. I keep buying different translations. I go to this conference, buy that one, go to this, but it just seems to go whoop. No, we need the rocker. We need the Holy Spirit within our lives to keep us alive. So what we're going to do in the next 5 minutes, because I want to get us going, because we've got a picnic in the park and all kinds of great things today. But I want to give some time for the Holy Spirit to rock. You're laughing at it. So let's all stand up, shall we? Thank you for your niceness. I can't remember the word that Karen invented this morning. What was it? Winningness. Thank you for your winningness. Let's just close your eyes. It does all go dark, but that's all right. Now I'm just going to pray, and the Holy Spirit's going to do some stuff. And then I'm just going to invite anybody at all in the entire room, or even maybe people in the back. We've got a few minutes. We've got time for this. It's only 12:05, all right? That's all it is. Is just going to invite anybody that wants to receive the Holy Spirit. We've just looked at some of who he is and some of what he does. Maybe you're kind of a bit dry. You feel a bit like you're in the middle of a wilderness. Well, let me tell you, God is the God of the wilderness. Amen. He always meets people in the wilderness. Always has, always will. But as soon as he begins to meet with people, he changes their dry places to streams. Always happens. So I'm just going to pray in a general kind of way. And then if you want to go, please go. Chat, have some coffee, come and chat to some of the guys. If you want to know more about Jesus, chat to one another, just spend some time together. But if you just want someone to, let's pray for a rocking, a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, then we'd love to do that. I'll get some of the other guys around to pray with you. We'd love to do that. So Father, I want to thank you for your words. Father, I'm just conscious that it was a lot. So, Father, Holy Spirit, take every word that's yours and seal it. Cause it to grow, cause it to prosper, cause it to bear fruit in our lives from today. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now that you've been speaking to many of us for the whole morning in different ways about who you are and getting to know you, about getting to know you more, about being used more by you, about maybe yielding our lives to the Holy Spirit afresh. Holy Spirit, right now, I ask that you continue to work that in our hearts until we come into a new freedom and breakthrough, into a new place of liberty. Yes. Father, I thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, and the Spirit of the Lord certainly is here, then there is freedom. So I thank you for freedom to step up into something new, to find you, to know you, to be used by you in a new way. I speak freedom over every household represented here, freedom over every marriage, freedom over every single person. I thank you that you came to set us free from things which try to condemn us and shut us down. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would arise up on the inside of us afresh. We would be the champions and the winners that you've called us to be. Amen. For we know that you hear us, and because we know you hear us, we know we have what we ask for. Yes. So we give you the praise and we give you the glory and we give you all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise and some glory right now. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.